Welcome to day 36 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and I'm happy to have you journeying with me through the Word of God. This week we will be reading from the Amplified Bible, and today's reading is Exodus chapters 19, 20, and 21. So beginning at Exodus 19 and verse 1. In the third month after the Israelites left the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. When they had departed from Rephidim and had come to the wilderness of Sinai, they encamped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him out of the mountain, "Say this to the house of Jacob and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice in truth and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own peculiar possession and treasure from among and above all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, consecrated, set apart to the worship of God. These are the words you shall speak to the Israelites." So Moses called for the elders of the people and told them all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses reported the words of the Lord to the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I come to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you and remain steadfast forever." Then Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go and sanctify the people, set them apart for God today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready by the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the cloud, in the sight of all the people. And you shall set bounds for the people round about, saying, 'Take heed that you do not go up into the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. No hand shall touch it or the offender, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with arrows. Whether beast or man, he shall not live.' When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain." So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified them, set them apart for God, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, "Be ready by the day after tomorrow. Do not go near a woman." The third morning there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people from the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke, for the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like that of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. As the trumpet blast grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with a voice. The Lord came down upon Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And also let the priests who come near to the Lord sanctify, set apart themselves for God, lest the Lord break forth against them." And Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you yourself charged us, saying, 'Set bounds about the mountain and sanctify it, set it apart for God.'" Then the Lord said to him, "Go, get down, and you shall come up, you and Aaron with you. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break forth against them." So Moses went down to the people and told them. Chapter 20. Then God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before or besides me. You shall not make yourself any graven image to worship it, or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy and steadfast love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not use or repeat the name of the Lord your God in vain, that is, lightly or frivolously, in false affirmations or profanely. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Earnestly remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, withdrawn from common employment and dedicated to God. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, your domestic animals, or the sojourner within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, set it apart for his purposes. Regard, treat with honor, due obedience and courtesy your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God gives you. You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not witness falsely against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Now all the people perceived the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the smoking mountain. And as they looked, they trembled with fear and fell back and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but let not God speak to us lest we die." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, for God has come to prove you, so that the reverential fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." And the people stood afar off. But Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said to Moses, "Thus shall you say to the Israelites, 'You have seen for yourselves that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make gods to share with me my glory and your worship. Gods of silver or gods of gold you shall not make for yourselves. An altar of earth you shall make to me, and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I record my name and cause it to be remembered, I will come to you and bless you. And if you will make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone. For if you lift up a tool upon it, you have polluted it. Neither shall you go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness be not exposed upon it." Chapter 21. Now these are the ordinances you, Moses, shall set before the Israelites. If you buy a Hebrew servant as the result of debt or theft, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh he shall go out free, paying nothing. If he came to you by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he came married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be your master's, and he shall go out of your service alone. But if the servant shall plainly say, "I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go free," then his master shall bring him to God, the judges as his agents. He shall bring him to the door or doorpost and shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him for life. If a man sells his daughter to be a maidservant or a bondwoman, she shall not go out in 6 years as men servants do. If she does not please her master, who has not yet espoused her to himself, he shall let her be redeemed. To sell her to a foreign people, he shall have no power, for he has dealt faithlessly with her. If he espouses her to his son, he shall deal with her as with a daughter. If he marries again, her food, clothing, and privilege as a wife shall he not diminish. And if he does not do these three things for her, then shall she go out free, without payment of money. Whoever strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. But if he did not lie in wait for him, but God allowed him to fall into his hand, then I will appoint you a place to which he may flee for protection until duly tried. But if a man comes willfully upon another to slay him craftily, you shall take him from my altar to which he may have fled for protection, that he may die. Whoever strikes his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Whoever kidnaps a man, whether he sells him or is found with him in his possession, shall surely be put to death. Whoever curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. If men quarrel and one strikes another with a stone or with his fist, and he does not die but keeps his bed, if he rises again and walks about leaning upon his staff, then he that struck him shall be clear, except he must pay for the loss of his time and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. And if a man strikes his servant or his maid with a rod, and he or she dies under his hand, he shall surely be punished. But if the servant lives on for a day or two, the offender shall not be punished, for he has injured his own property. If men contend with each other, and a pregnant woman interfering is hurt so that she has a miscarriage, yet no further damage follows, the one who hurt her shall surely be punished with a fine paid to the woman's husband, as much as the judges determine. But if any damage follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, and lash for lash. And if a man hits the eye of his servant or the eye of his maid so that it is destroyed, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. And if he knocks out his manservant's tooth or his maidservant's tooth, he shall let him go free for his tooth's sake. If an ox gores a man or a woman to death, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be clear. But if the ox has tried to gore before, and its owner has been warned, but has not kept it closed in, and it kills a man or woman, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner also put to death. If a ransom is put on the man's life, then he shall give for the redemption of his life whatever is laid upon him. If the man's ox has gored another son or daughter, he shall be dealt with according to the same rule. If the ox gores a manservant or maidservant, the owner shall give to their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. If a man leaves a pit open or digs a ditch and does not cover it, and an ox or donkey falls into it, the owner of the pit shall make it good. He shall give money to the animal's owner, but the dead beast shall be his. If one man's ox hurts another so that it dies, they shall sell the live ox and divide the price of it. The dead ox also they shall divide between them. Or, if it is known that the ox has gored in the past, and its owner has not kept it closed in, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead beast shall be his. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. In today's scripture reading, we come upon the first presentation of what we have called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are known the world wide, even by people who don't know or honor God or familiar at least with that term, the Ten Commandments. And it's here that God himself lays down a foundation of moral code that is intended to give a foundation for the nation of Israel, for anybody who would desire to follow the voice of God, obey the commandments of God, and be a worshiper of the one true God. And here these Ten Commandments come, and they are going to lay the foundation for what would become the nation of Israel. And even today, the Ten Commandments still are at the foundations of the law that was established in the United States a couple hundred years ago. The Ten Commandments were used as foundation for our legal system. So that is a fascinating little tidbit. And yet today we have outlawed in the United States the display of the Ten Commandments even in schools. And now we have the results of that with murders happening in schools, and there's no end to the violence that we have begun to see as we have removed influence from God and his word from the government schools in the United States. But we need to recognize why it is that God himself gave to his people these Ten Commandments. Many people who don't have a close relationship with God often think about God as this angry man who, or angry judge who's wagging his finger at people, telling them to obey these commandments, and with anger strikes with judgment when they don't obey. And yet the Ten Commandments truly came from a heart of love, from a God of love, who wanted to see people live lives of love and peace and joy. And in his wisdom, he knew that for a culture or a nation, it must have a foundation that gives a moral code that instructs people how to interact with one another and to also have relationship with God. So I want to look at these Ten Commandments today in this way. Not to look at it as 10 rules from God to obey, but instead as foundational for your life, your family, your nation, where we take these and the first four specifically instruct us on how to relate to God, and the following six commandments instruct us on how to relate to other people. I love the New Testament, where Jesus has a discussion with the religious leaders of his day, and he asks them a question. He says, "What is the greatest commandment? How do you read it?" And one man in the crowd answers wisely, and he gives a summation, a classical Jewish summation of the Ten Commandments, actually. And he says this. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength." That would be the summation of the first four, because they relate how we are to relate to God. And then the next statement he makes is a summation of the following six commandments. And he goes on to say, "And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And so those two statements were an excellent answer. And Jesus commended him on his answer. And he says, "Good, very good. You've answered wisely. Go in and do likewise." So he commended, he affirmed the Ten Commandments. He didn't replace them or throw them out, since he came as bringing in a new covenant. He affirmed these Ten Commandments as from the Lord. And yet he said to his disciples, "I give you a new commandment, love one another." So his focus began to be, or you could say, he began to attempt to get his disciples focused not on the legal do's and don'ts, but on the heart of what the law, the Ten Commandments, came from. And that heart was a law of love, a heart of love from God. And so he said, I give you a new commandment, love one another. And so we need to take what the New Testament says, what we are taught by Jesus, what we are, is revealed in our new covenant, the New Testament, and apply it to these words that we are reading today in the Old Testament. Romans 13:10 tells us, love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. If you love God, you'll obey the first four commandments. If you love people, you will obey the following six commandments. Because love is the fulfillment of the law. Let's take a look at these commandments one by one quickly, because these are profound and beautiful, but we need to also to understand them and to have an understanding of it in the light of what the Word of God tells us, which is that God Himself gave them to His people for foundation for their relationships with one another and their relationship with God. And they still apply today. But if you love God and love people, you will fulfill these Ten Commandments. If you love God, the first four won't be a problem. And Jesus said Himself, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, if you love God. So here we go. The first four, which address our relationship with the Lord, says, you shall have no other gods before me. In other words, the Lord was saying, this is it. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He was speaking to his people Israel at that time, but it applies to us as Christian believers today. It is God who brings us out of slavery to sin. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery to sin through Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross. And then he goes on to say, you shall have no other gods before me. There should be nothing else you are worshiping but God alone. And then the Lord emphasizes it again in commandment number two. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or anything, likeness of anything that is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or that is in the water beneath. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. So the Lord was dealing here with the issue of idolatry. And idolatry is when you worship an idol. An idol is something that is not God, but is worshipped as if it was God. And we could say today in Western culture, we don't bow down to any idols. We don't have idols in our houses, although there are quite a few people in many cultures that have idols in their houses. Statues of Buddha, statues of Hindu goddesses, various and sundry types of religious idols that are in houses today in people's homes, let alone in the temples where they are worshipped openly. And God strictly forbids that. But let me bring to you this thought. There's a lot of idols today in our American culture, in Western culture, and around the world. Things that are worshipped that are not God, but they are worshipped. Do you know that money is worshipped today in our generation? Money. People worship money. People serve money. People would do anything for money. Money could be an idol in your life. Status could be an idol in your life. Making sure you have high status. People who want to be famous or people who enjoy fame in the world, they consider that to be an idol to be pursued. They want to be honored and famous among people. Those are idols that could potentially creep up in a person's life and a person not be aware of it, because if they looked at this commandment, they think it's just a carved statue. I'm not bowing down any carved statues. Anything that takes the place of God in your heart, that you give your time, attention, money, energy to with great commitment could potentially be an idol in your life. You have to ask the Holy Spirit to examine your heart. You don't want to have something that's more important than God in your life. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make an idol. You shall not bow down to it. Commandment number 3 says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And yet this is something that happens every single day. People use the name God like it's nothing. It's just an expression they use. If they're amazed at something, they will say, oh my, what? You know what they say? And that is a direct disobedience to this commandment. Using the name of the Lord in some frivolous, vain way like that is definitely a violation of this commandment, because the purpose is God, that we're to hold God in honor and reverence and not use the Lord's name as if it was just something to be bandied about with no concern that it we're talking about God himself. So be careful. That's a common sin in our society today. If you watch television, happens every 5 minutes at least. So consider that is something that God takes very seriously. Do you honor the Lord by being very watchful when and how and in what situation you actually use the name of God? That's something serious to take to heart. The fourth commandment, which is the fourth one of this set that specifically has to do with how we honor, worship, and love God, says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. On it you shall not do any work. And then it goes on to say the same, don't make your son and your daughter, your servant, or anybody else that lives in your house do work on that day. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that's in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. You know, God is wise. And Jesus said that God gave Sabbath to man. It's a gift. You know, God knows you. He made you. He knows you cannot burn the candle at both ends, work 7 days a week, never take any rest, and be healthy and live a long life. Those two things will not go together. Every single human being needs a day of rest per week. The Lord designed us that way. He is the creator. He knows. So the Lord wants you to have a Sabbath. And the intention is, it's a day when you rest physically, but you set your attention upon God. If it's a day that you are able to go to church, if it's a Sunday, for example, then it should not be a day you're working. It should be a day where you go, you worship God with other people, then you take time by yourself, you read your word, you just rest physically, you think about the Lord, and you teach your family the same thing. We need to take that very seriously. These first four commandments were given to us to set in order our lives so that they would be blessed and be a blessing to the Lord. Now, the next six commandments are very clearly six commandments that deal with how we relate to other people. And remember what I told you from the New Testament, that love is the fulfillment of the law. So these first four, if you love God, you will be happy to love the Lord and show your love for God in the ways that are mentioned here in these first four commandments. But these next six, love is the fulfillment of the law. Romans told us that love that does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So here we find the six commandments that tell us how we are to interact with our fellow man. And if you love your fellow man, you will not have any problem fulfilling these. The first one, and very profoundly so, of this group is the command to honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. In Ephesians, it tells us that this commandment is the only commandment of the 10 that comes with a promise. Isn't that profound? There's no other ones that have a promise attached. This one says, if you honor your father and your mother, your days will be long. Basically, your life will be blessed. And your life will be extended because you obey this law. And many people, and we mentioned this earlier on in a previous devotional, but many people have a hard time with this issue of honoring father and mother because they remember perhaps failures of their parents. And I tell you, there's not a parent in the world that is perfect. There's not a parent in the world that would claim they were a perfect parent. Because we all know as parents, our faults, we see, I wish I didn't do that. I wish I had done better with my children in this area. I wish I'd spent more time. I wish I'd been there when they needed me for this particular situation. I wish I hadn't been so hard on them. We get more wisdom as we get older if we are walking with the Lord. And so we will have revelation that we didn't measure up as the best parent ever. But you can still honor your father and your mother, even if they had shortcomings, because guaranteed they will have had shortcomings. And you do that by speaking well of them, not bringing up their past mistakes, but instead speaking of the good attributes your parents had. And even if your parents are dead, they passed away already, maybe you're older and you think, I'd never honored my mother and father because I was always mad at them for the way they treated me. You can change that course right now. You can ask the Lord to forgive you for dishonoring your parents if you've done so verbally in your heart or in any possible way. Maybe you did it to them, to their face. Ask God to forgive you and cleanse you, and He will do that. And then put yourself on a path where you're committed to obeying this command, and you're going to only honor your parents with your words. And the only memories you're going to bring up and talk about to other people about your parents will be ones that can be honoring, that can be positive, that can say something kind and loving about them. And that way you can put yourself into the position where you're honoring your father and your mother, and your days may be blessed by God, giving you a long life, and that promise can be yours. Just repent if you have dishonored your parents, if you said things to them you shouldn't. If you're a child, go and ask your parents to forgive you for speaking to them, misbehaving or disobeying them or talking back to them. Say, forgive me, please. I realize I should not have done that. God tells us to honor our parents, and I'm committed to doing it. Tell your parents that, and it'll astonish them, but it'll also put you on a path where God can bless your life. This is a beautiful commandment, and it's a precious commandment, but it's a life-changing commandment. And it's the first, and I think it's very profound that God placed the first commandment that had to do with our relations with other people as being the one with mother and father, because they are our first relationship in life, is with our mother and our father. So if you love, you will have no problem honoring your father and your mother, even if they're imperfect, even if they're terrible parents. You can still show love. You can. By the grace of God, if you have Christ living inside of you, if you're a born-again Christian, God's love, it says that He shed abroad His love in your heart by the Holy Spirit. So you have power inside of you. You just have to let it out and go show love to people who necessarily, perhaps are not necessarily the most loving to you, but God can give you grace to do it. And then the next several commandments deal specifically with issues that would obviously severely hurt another person. The sixth commandment, you shall not murder. Obviously, if you are walking in love, you would never murder anyone. And Jesus said, if you are angry with someone in your heart, you've already murdered them. So you have to test that. God, forgive me if I'm being so angry with someone that I'm getting a point of hate and murder in my heart. So you have to test that in your own heart and ask God to cleanse you and help you and give you grace and love for the person that you're struggling with. You shall not murder, even in your heart, according to Jesus. And if you walk in love, you're not going to murder anybody. Commandment 7, you shall not commit adultery. You know, this commandment, which is broken every day of the year, without a doubt, by multitudes of people around the world, That is a sin that hurts people so deeply. Not only does it hurt the spouse that's being cheated on, that's being betrayed, their trust, but it hurts children, it hurts families in a terrible way. So if you love God and you want to walk in love in every area of your life, you will not want to commit adultery, even if you are so sorely tempted, even in your mind, because you would never want to hurt your children, hurt your spouse, hurt your family through this sin. Love is the fulfillment of the law. If you love people, Commandment 8, you shall not steal. You won't want to steal from anybody because you wouldn't want to hurt them. If you love people, you would not want to lie about them. Commandment number 9, you shall not bear false witness. You wouldn't want to lie about them, spread rumors about them, speak evil of them, or even repeat gossip about somebody else because it would be hurtful. And you are a person that wants to walk in love in all areas of your life. If you're somebody who tends to gossip, you need to repent for that because that is a serious thing in the eyes of God. It's right here in number 9. It is all borne out in this commandment. Let the Lord help you be a person who only speaks words of grace and blessing and love to other people, but doesn't repeat rude and disgusting things about others to the ears of someone else. God wants you to be someone who uses your words of your mouth to bless and to give grace and mercy like God has given to you. And then the last commandment, again, if you're walking in love, you're not going to want to covet your neighbor's house or your neighbor's wife or his possessions or anything that belongs to your neighbor. You want to ask the Lord again to give you love for people so that you have a shield that guards your heart against even being tempted toward these things that are discussed here in these commandments. You know, God gave these commandments not out of a harsh, you better do it attitude, but out of a loving heart, because he knew if a society had these commandments as its foundation, the society would enjoy peace and blessing and prosperity. If a family has these commandments at the heart of its family life, that family will enjoy peace and prosperity and joy and love in that household. But without them, it's disastrous. You know, there was a rabbi that was confined in a concentration camp during World War II, one of the most infamous death camps, which is called Auschwitz, where so many Jews and those who loved Jews and helped the Jews perished in those camps. And when he got out of that concentration camp, he survived miraculously his detention in that death camp. He said that being inside of there was like existing in a world where in which all the Ten Commandments were reversed. Think about that. He said being in that death camp of Auschwitz with hatred and murder happening all around him, people stealing and speaking evil of their neighbor and bearing false witness to get something from the guards so that they could be benefited and coveting what some other piece of clothing someone had, all of it. It was like the Ten Commandments were reversed. That's what living in that concentration camp was like. You know, it's the same for the world we live in. Without this foundation that God has laid from his heart of love, because he knows what will bless people and give them peace and give them joy and give them love in their lives. Without that, the world would be like that rabbi described, the Auschwitz concentration camp, where hatred prevails instead of love, where murder prevails instead of life, where lying and false witness prevails instead of truth, where hatred of God prevails instead of love of God. God gave these commands so that families and nations and communities and societies could have a foundation to build upon that would bring life and love and peace and joy. And that's how we need to look at these commands, because that's the heart of the God that we serve. God bless you and give you a fantastic week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.